God's word comes to us today in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of God. So it's easy to forget that our main job is to do works of service. Our whole life, our mission are to do works of service that point to Jesus, that help his kingdom, that help other people, that help us to grow to be closer to him, to be in unity with Christ and with the faith that he has given to us. I fail in that, and I'm going to be honest with God about that, and I encourage you to do the same. As I pray this prayer, I encourage you to pray it with me, a prayer of confession. Oh Lord, I sometimes take evangelists and pastors for granted. Instead of looking to them and your word to help make me more useful and equip me to do works of service, I look to them to serve me. We're not all one in faith, in full knowledge and complete maturity in Christ. We're susceptible to false teachings. We look to other examples rather than growing up to be like Christ. We draw on our own strength and then wonder why we're not building up one another in his love, why we're not doing our work. Forgive us. Forgive me. Jesus came to do a very important work, and that important work was to give his life as a sacrifice for you, for your sins, and for mine. And we rejoice that that forgiveness is ours. Hear from Jesus as he says to you today, your sins are forgiven in the name and the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's rejoice in that forgiveness as we sing our next song.
Who has the power to raise the dead? See who holds the
children. It's time for the children's message. So, do we have any children here today? Oh, yes, we do. Come on up. Come on up. All right, Finney and Elliot. Awesome. Come on up. Oh, nope. Over here. You're close. This way. Come see me. Right. Oh, there we go. Okay. Good morning. Oh, so this is the time when you say good morning back to me. Okay, so here, let's try it again. Good morning. All right. Good to see you guys this morning. So look what I have. I have the box. So this is the third service box, but we're going to use it for the second service. So let's see what's inside. Guess what's in it. You need a hint, don't you? Okay. This is something, but you can't see it. Something you can't see. You need it to live. A treat? A train? A tree. Well, we do need tree. Trees produce this. They take carbon dioxide and they make this. Elliot, did you hear what Miss Patty said? It's air. It's empty. That was really hard, wasn't it? Yeah. It's air. Oxygen, nitrogen, some other stuff too. Yeah. So what do you know is there but you can't see, but it's really important and we need it to live. Need him to live. Need him to live. Air is very important. You can't see it, but we need it to live. We know it's there. So, but God, you can't see God, can you? No, but we need him. We need him for forgiveness. We need him for love. We need him for breath. We need him to keep taking care of this world for us so that we have a place to live. We need him for food. He provides for us. Now, he does that through other people, so sometimes we see God in the way that people act, in the way that our parents take care of us, the way that people serve us. And when we serve other people, it's like we're being like God for them too, like little Christ, like little Jesuses. And I'm going to talk to your parents a little bit later about how we're all like little Jesuses. And we're all to love others and help others and serve others and be like a little Jesus to them, a little Christ. All right? So God gives us what we need, and he helps us to serve others. That's good news for us, and it's good news for others, too. All right, let's bow our heads and say a prayer. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the air we breathe, for the love you give, for the forgiveness we have through your death and resurrection. Help us to help others and be a little like Christ to those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Trying to fade into the faces, the girls teasing laughs.
bodybuilding, strength training. Somebody, what are some benefits of bodybuilding, strength training? Stronger body. What else? We're doing all the interactive stuff at the very beginning. I know it's hard. I haven't warmed you up yet, but try, do your best. Other benefits. Health. Mobility. Strength. Yeah, there are all kinds of positives. So bone density, you know, especially ladies, when you get older, sometimes you have to like take these supplements, right? In order, like Boniva or whatever. They've actually found that you can not take those and instead do strength training and have equivalent bone mass gain. But you got to be consistent, right? So you have to do that. But it's healthier too than actually taking these expensive drugs. That's one thing is bone density, metabolism. If you work out early in the morning, your metabolism keeps going through the rest of the day. You burn more calories, your heart works more efficiently and better, and so it's just good for your whole day. Somebody early service said you feel better, which you do feel a lot better throughout the rest of the day. Things like your heart, I know this, that it's heart healthy to do some resistance training, some strength training. Cardio is even better, but it's even better if you marry the two together and take turns and do some cardio and some strength training. Your brain, there have been new research projects done that have shown that you're less likely to have dementia if you're training some strength training as well as cardio. So there are a lot of benefits of building your body, of, you know, not to necessarily look like a bodybuilder, but just to build strength, and it's better for your mood, all different kinds of things, better for your health. So how about building the body of Christ? Do you think that's important? Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we're going to be looking at today as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, which we read a little while ago. We're going to be looking at how God asks us to build the body, and then he's going to talk about the benefits. What are the blessings that he gives when we work together to build the body of Christ, to build God's church? So God's guide for bodybuilding, first of all, be equipped. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. It was he who gave some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people. I want to dig deeper on that word prepare, or many translations say equipped or prepared. The Greek word there is actually katartismon, and it is used in two different kinds of ways, not just in the New Testament, but in other Greek literature of this time period. It's used mostly to talk about fishermen and mending nets. They would have used this word a lot, katartismon, to mend nets. Because what good is a fisherman's net if it has a big old hole in it or several little holes in it? Not very, because what do the fish do? They swim right out of the holes. This makes what wasn't so terribly useful again, right? It men. The second way that it's used is in equipping soldiers, giving them the body armor they need, giving them their spear, their sword, their helmet, all the different things that they need. And Ephesians 6 is going to talk about this a little bit more in detail, right? Putting on the full armor of God. So a couple of chapters later, Paul's going to talk to the Ephesians about that. So mending nets and equipping soldiers. And I know some of you are soldiers, or you're in the military. You know what soldiers need as far as equipment. It varies, but not everybody is. But I think we could all relate to policemen, right? So imagine a policeman who has no car, no motorcycle, no bicycle to get around. He has no badge, no uniform to identify who he is. He has no computer to do background checks and check license plates and things like that. He has no radio to keep in touch or to hear what's going on around him or to coordinate efforts. He has no handcuffs. He has no way of restraining anybody. He has no firearm. He has no baton. He has nothing, no equipment. Now, can a policeman do their job without equipment? Well, maybe, but not very effectively. You know, even the earliest policemen at least had a uniform. You knew that they were people of authority, and they had a billy club, right? It's easier if you have the right equipment. And here's the good news. God will never send you anywhere or ask you to do anything without giving you what you need to get the job done or to make it to the destination or to fulfill the mission that he gives you. He will always give you, or make available to you anyway, the equipment you need. You would avail yourself of it to get the job done, to get to your destination, to fulfill the mission. God gives us, the scripture says, evangelists and pastors. And why? To prepare God's people, to knit God's holy people together and equip them, to give them what they need. So God's gift to you, I know it sounds a little self-serving for me to say this, but it's right here in scripture, right? But I am God's gift to you. All right, I'm wiping the smile off my face. And yeah, wow, God. So God gives us gifts, and one of the gifts that he gives us are pastors and teachers and evangelists who equip us, who prepare us, who mend our nets, who make us useful again, who get rid of the holes in our souls. And not that they're special. Well, they kind of are, but only because God makes them that way. Only because God equips them to be that. Only because God gives them the word and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's where the power is. The power is in the word. Even baptism and the Lord's Supper have no power apart from the word. The pastor, the evangelist, the teacher has no power apart from the word. In fact, you have no power apart from the word. But he has specially given titles and positions to certain people that he is called to publicly equip, to mend your nets, to make you useful again with the word of God, and to give you the equipment that you need. And it's not just all up to me, because you, thank goodness for the printing press and the internet, you can go online or open up a Bible and read the Bible and get the power of that word each and every day. You can get together with another person and do that at work or at home with your family. You can do it by yourself. You can do it in a life group, like we have life groups, small groups that meet in homes, and spend some time in God's word. So there are all these different ways. But God has specially given pastors and evangelists the ability to knit God's holy people together and equip them. Not the only ones, but that's part of what we do. And why? What do we need to be equipped for? What do you need to be equipped for? Well, God's word tells you, for works of service. For works of service, for works of ministry, some translations say. And that works too. Things that you do that serve others in the name of Jesus, that serve others for the sake of God's kingdom. That's what it's talking about. Ephesians 4:12, to prepare God's people. To return to the policeman analogy, the policeman receives a badge, he receives a uniform, he receives a firearm, cuffs, he has his cruiser, he has his computer, he has all of this equipment. And why does a policeman have all that stuff? What's their work of service? To go sit in the car and eat donuts and chat with their partner? No. I mean, occasionally that gets to happen, but not very. What is their job? To protect, to serve. They're the ones that protect you and me and protect our property and protect our loved ones and protect those around us. They're there to fulfill a mission. So I'm going to talk a little bit about football. I know it's not football season, but football's almost like a religion around here, like another religion. So I think you'll all be able to relate. Imagine a football team and all the players. These are some of the best players you've ever seen in your life. They're big, they're strong, they're smart, they have skill. And they're all sitting in the bleachers. And the coaches, they're pretty smart, but they're kind of flabby. They're out on the field. And they're playing a game against the toughest opponent. The evil opponent, right? You know, the one that everybody loves to beat because they're so good, and sometimes they even play dirty, you know? And so the coaches are out there, and they're huffing and puffing and almost having heart attacks and getting beaten to a pulp while the players are out in the stands and they're shouting conflicting things. Go on the strong side. Go on the weak side. Do a sweep. No, pound through the line. No, pass. Go long. And The coaches are just getting beaten. They're outclassed in every way. Well, that's ridiculous. You know that's ridiculous. That would never happen. But you know what? It happens in God's churches every week. Every week. Every week, there are people who are able, who are strong, who have gifts, who have abilities, that don't use their gifts and abilities. Instead, they just shout instructions that conflict with other people who also have gifts and abilities who should be out on the field, but they're actually just shouting conflicting ideas as well. While the staff is out there getting beaten to a pulp and getting hurt and not really moving the ball forward at all. Is it any wonder that after all of the dollars that we've spent, as I talked about last week, the Christian church has had 0% growth in the last 10 years? Roles are reversed. People are on the sidelines. The staff is in the field. That's not how it's supposed to be. How's it supposed to be? Pastors are called by God to equip people for works of service. That's my job. My job is to equip you, to help mend your nets, make you useful again by using God's word. And then secondly, to prepare you, again, using the power of God's word, to equip you for works of service. And where do we look for the example of how a pastor is supposed to do that? Well, we look to Jesus. What did Jesus mostly do when he was here on earth? Well, he taught. He publicly taught in the synagogues. He taught wherever he had an opportunity. When they didn't allow him in the synagogues anymore, he just went wherever and shared the good news of the coming kingdom and what he was going to do for people with them. So teaching is a big part of that, public teaching especially. Secondly, he did healing. He did healing. Now, I haven't, like, you know, told somebody who was paralyzed for life, stand up, and they've stood up. I have prayed that that would happen. I don't have that power. Jesus did, but I pray that Jesus would heal people. And sometimes, you know what? It happens miraculously. Most of the time, it happens through the doctors and nurses and medical teams that provide care. But I get to provide pastoral care. What does that mean? That means I get to share God's word. I get to share the unique Christian elements of healing, like prayer and getting other people to pray as well. I get to listen to their story and share with them and receive what God gives me and give it to them. So that's part of my job too, is to provide pastoral care. So public teaching of God's word and pastoral care. And then what was the other thing that Jesus did? Well, basically, he developed disciples. Who are disciples? What are disciples? Disciples are people who follow a leader, follow Jesus, and who then introduce them to others, right? Because the apostles, they were sent to tell others about Jesus, and then they teach about Jesus, and they make more disciples, so they reproduce. So that's my job, is to take smaller groups of people like Jesus did, about 12, and help them to do what they're supposed to do, to be the leaders, and then they're supposed to work with all y'all, you know, all of you, in order that all of you can be built up and can do works of service, prepared for works of service. And for what purpose? To build up the body, Ephesians 4:12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Christ is the cornerstone in this building, right? Christ is the one that all the measurements are taken from. He's the one that squares everything up. And then the foundation is laid. And the foundation is the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles. It's God's word, right? So we have Jesus, the cornerstone, and the word, the rest of Scripture, which provides the foundation. And then you and I are living stones, Scripture tells us, built up to be a place where God's Spirit dwells and lives. And we all are joined together in order to make something that's important, something that makes a difference in the world. You are those living stones. When pastors and people fulfill their roles, more and better disciples are made. And that's how we can tell if we're doing our job or not. Now, we don't have control over the results. God does. But we do have control over the process, what we do, how we grow in the word, how we avail ourselves to be here on Sunday so that we can become stronger and so that we can be built up, so that we can have our nets mended, so that we can be useful again, so that we can be prepared and encouraged and receive God's Spirit to do, to want to do, and then to do those works of service, those works of ministry. So here's what I want to have happen today. When you leave today, I want each of you to answer these questions. What are your works of service at home? What are your works of service at work, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your community, in your church? And each of you should be able to tell me multiples for each of these questions. Now, before you get too worried, we don't have time for you to do all that, so I'm not going to have you do that. But you should be able to. You should be able to tell me what your works of service are in each of those areas. If I were to ask, could you? So that's what God has planned. That's his way of reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. You doing the works of service and me helping you do that. You know, helping prepare you, helping equip you. Now, what are the benefits of that? That's what he's going to talk about next, what God's going to tell us through Paul. So God's blessings for bodybuilding. Number one, unity in the faith. Unity in the faith. Ephesians 4:13. Until we all reach unity in the faith. So whenever you see the word faith in the New Testament, it means one of two things. It has two definitions. Sometimes it means the act of believing. So to believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. That's the first definition. It's the act of believing in Jesus. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's the act of trusting and believing and having faith. But then there's a second definition, and the second definition is this: the teachings which are believed. The teachings believed. And that includes everything that's in the Word, right? It includes Jesus and everything that he said. So all the Gospels, right? And then he said basically that all of the prophets and all the Old Testament are the Scripture, and they testify of him, so they're all part of that word too. And then we have the reports and the letters that were later added to that, which we call, you know, the New Testament along with Gospels. We have the epistles and all of those. And by the way, they weren't added a whole lot later. They were added like around 80 and 90 and 100 AD. And it wasn't like at some council later on. That's a myth. So there's these teachings that are believed. And whenever you see the word "the" in front, like you have here in Ephesians 4:13, then the definition is always the second one. The faith that is believed. The things that we believe. The things that Scripture teaches us. That's faith. Now, there are two equally serious errors that I want to point out that are a part of talking about the faith. And one is doctrinal apathy. Doctrinal apathy. Doctrine gets sort of a bad rap because I think we think doctrine, we think dogma, we think dogmatic. We think of people forcing their beliefs down our throats. That's not what doctrine is. And it's not like a man-made thing. Doctrine is simply taking what Scripture says and it's scriptural teaching. True doctrine is always kind of, you know, summarizing what Scripture says as a whole, not just bits and pieces of it. There are some people who serve well, who say, well, I'm a Christian, and they're doing good things for Jesus, but when it comes to, like, explaining who Jesus is, or what he's done, or what Scripture teaches, they're lost. And you know what happens when you're doctrinally apathetic like this after a while? It happens to you and it happens to others. It's like you're getting just bits and pieces of Jesus. You get to see part of him, but not the whole picture. You get a part of Jesus, but not all of the benefits and blessings that he wants to give. You don't have the full understanding of what he is all about if you don't know Scripture. So doctrine, Scripture is important. Secondly, another serious error is ministry atrophy. If you don't work out your muscles, say your arm's in a cast, if you ever had your arm in a cast, it's like, what, 6 weeks, and they take the cast off, you feel like you can't even move your arm anymore, or your leg or whatever happens to be. You know why? Because of atrophy. Your muscles begin to atrophy in like 3 days. It doesn't take very long at all. Your body says, ooh, you're not using that. I'll use those cells and those nutrients somewhere else. And your body is very adaptable that way. And so the rest of your body gets the benefit while that muscle that's not being used just atrophies. And it's very hard to do anything with it till you build it back up. It takes a little bit of time. Well, that happens with ministry too. If you're not serving God, if you're not doing things for God, you get ministry atrophy. It gets hard. And you have to work at it, and you have to practice it, and you have to start small and get bigger and better. Build your own ministry so that you're not atrophied anymore. So build your ministry muscles, right? These are folks who know God's word. In fact, sometimes they know it really, really well. They just never do it. They don't live it. They're not living like little Christ. And so what happens, and this can happen in either case, is you get kind of proud. Well, I know all the right answers. You know, well, it's hard for people to relate to you if you're always right, because they know that they're not right and they don't want to listen to you. And you get kind of self-righteous. And this happens with both, right? So if I'm doing all the hard work and other people aren't, well, it's like, oh, why aren't they working? You know, and you get self-righteous. And it's like, well, no, they just haven't progressed to that part of their Christ life yet to where they're doing what Christ would do, like you are. But maybe you're not growing in some other area of service that God wants you to grow in, or maybe you're not growing in your understanding and your knowledge of Jesus as much. Unity in the faith is ultimately only going to come when we have the knowledge and when we have the work behind it, when we do those works of service. Number two, the second blessing is experience Jesus. Ephesians 4:13, and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Knowledge in the New Testament, every time you see the word know or knowledge, it's always more than just facts. In fact, it could almost mean like relationship. It's more like a relationship. And you get a hint of this when you look at the old King James Version of the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It talks about Abraham knew his wife Sarah. Well, what does that mean? It's a euphemism for had sexual intercourse. To know somebody was a very intimate thing. I mean, means you were close. You ate together. You lived together. You worked together. So it's more than just knowing somebody. Oh, yeah, I know that person. It's a relationship. It's much more intimate than that. That's how it is here, too. It's more of an experience. I experience Jesus. I am in an intimate relationship with Jesus. I know Jesus. And notice what it says here. It talks about becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure. So those kind of relate to each other. And the knowledge of the Son of God is equated with the fullness of Christ. So the more we know, the more we experience him, the better picture, the fuller experience, the fuller relationship we have with Christ Jesus. And how do we get that relationship, that experience? It comes from hearing the word, hearing and living the word. Right now, you're hearing the word. So you are experiencing Jesus. You're growing. You are becoming mature. Those word muscles, those doctrine muscles are starting to grow because you're being stretched and you're learning new things. And God's word just has power in it all by itself, even if this isn't new to you. By just being here and hearing it, you are growing in your knowledge of Jesus. And then when you leave here, or even while you're here and you're ministering to one another and you're serving in your home, you're serving in your workplace, and you're serving at school, when you're serving in your neighborhood, when you're serving in your community, then you are, again, exercising those ministry muscles, and you're getting stronger, and you're experiencing Jesus. You're becoming more like him. And when you do what Jesus did, you experience Jesus in a more full way. So you experience Jesus. Thirdly, solid teaching. You receive solid teaching. Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Some people refuse to mature in Christ, to gain and attain the fullness of Christ. And you know what I like to call those people? Pew potatoes. you know, like couch potatoes who are just sitting around watching TV and getting fat and being entertained, you know, just saying, hey, entertain me. And if I'm not entertained, I'm just going to hit the remote and go to the next thing, right? Or the next YouTube video. Maybe it'll be better. So pew potatoes. Except we don't have pews here. Huh. I need a different metaphor. How about chair chum? Chair chum. Now notice I didn't put an S there because I'm thinking more in the line of chum. You know what chum is? It's like bait, right? The fishermen, they go and they go fish and then they gut the fish and they take all the guts out and all the liquids and it all goes into a bucket because you don't want all that slimy stuff in your boat. Plus you have another use for it because they don't waste anything. And they take the heads or the things that they can't use and they put all of that in these buckets and then they chum the waters. They take the chum bucket full of chum, all these fish parts that nobody wants anything to do with, and throw them in the water because you know what? Other fish will eat that, and it attracts more fish to the boat. And so you can let out your nets or put a line out, and you're more likely to catch fish because you've chummed the waters. You know, people who are not growing in maturity as Christians coming closer to Christ are like chair chum, pew potatoes. And it kind of fits right here. Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men. Those evil fish are going to swallow you up. Unless we stand for something, we shall fall for anything, says Peter Marshall, former Senate chaplain. You know, there are some people who are going to continue to be pew potatoes. They're going to be chair chum. They're just going to refuse to be changed by God's word. They're going to refuse to enter into his world-changing mission. Change the world, you know, one person at a time by introducing them to Jesus and all of the blessings and benefits that he wants to give. And that makes them susceptible to false teaching. It makes us susceptible to false teaching when we are chair chum and pew potatoes. Instead, we need to listen to the solid teaching of Jesus, and then we need to do that teaching. God calls us to a childlike faith, but that doesn't mean a childish one. That doesn't mean one that says, oh, it's all for me. If you're not serving me, if I'm not getting what I want, I'm out of here. Number four, the fourth benefit of bodybuilding is grow to be like Jesus. We get to grow to be like Jesus. Who's the head of Word of Life? Is it me? Is it the president? Is it the congregational assembly? Is it all of you? No, it's Jesus. Jesus is the head. Ephesians 4:15, grow to be like Jesus. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. The head of the church and of this church is Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's Christ. And we need to grow up to be like him. I talked about this a little bit last week, especially when we talked to the confirmands. God is making us to be more like Jesus, more like his son. We're becoming little Christs. We're becoming Christ-like rather than childlike. Christ-like. We're growing up to be more loving, more self-sacrificing, more adventurous, more willing to take risks, more willing to go out and talk to people that we don't know or people who are different from us or people that we do know, but to talk to them about things that most people don't talk about, like faith and what we believe and how important that is for us and how our story intersects with God's story, with Jesus' story. And prayer. You know, Jesus often went away to pray. That's also, I should have mentioned that with pastors. That's part of what pastors are supposed to be. With prayer. And then developing people. Like he developed the disciples. You know, we should be developing those around us at home, at work, wherever we happen to be. So we need to grow up to be like him. And then the fifth benefit, the last one we're talking about today here in Scripture, is grow in love. Ephesians 4:16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There is power not in the pastor, not in the believers, not in the leaders, but in the whole, in everyone working together for the good. As we are supporting each other, as we're connected to each other, as we all have different gifts and abilities, and I might be really good at something, and really bad at something else, but you might be really good at what I'm bad at and really bad at what I'm good at. That's okay. You might do things differently than I do, and that's okay. You might think differently than I do, and that's okay. God uses each of us in our various abilities and attitudes and skills and gifts and experiences to do great things as we work together. And it works better when we're all doing our work and grow and build ourselves up in love. The power in the church comes from God and his love for me through Christ Jesus. His love for you through Christ Jesus, who gave his life for you, who left the comforts of heaven and was born in a drafty cave full of livestock, who left the company of perfect angels who were just waiting to serve him to a bunch of people who were holding thorns and nails. We don't have a mission. God's mission has us. God is building a bigger heaven through you and me. God is building better lives, more abundant lives through you and through me. So be equipped to build the body of Christ, to build yourself and to build others. There's no limit to what God will do when you join him in building the body. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for evangelists and pastors who mend and equip us for works of service and who build up the body of Christ with your word. We thank you for our guests and for those who invited and brought them. We thank you for the slow but miraculous healing of Chelsea. We thank you for Ashley, Devin, and Ezra, who recently affirmed the Christian faith, committed to living a God-pleasing, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled life, and committed to joining you in building a bigger heaven and better lives. We thank you for the recent graduation of Ashley and Nathan, Alexis, Jonathan, Emily, Cordelia, Kevin, and Noel. We thank you for the recent adoption of Joseph, for graciously speaking to those who want to hear him and those who don't. Lord, we thank you for leading us with your word. We thank you for over $165,000 given so far to our Therefore Go Building Fund. We thank you for all the blessings and resources you've entrusted to our care and your promise to multiply them to build a bigger heaven and better lives. We ask you now to inspire and empower us to do works of service, to be one in the faith, to seek full knowledge and complete maturity in Christ, to avoid false teachings, to grow to be like Christ, to draw our strength from you and build one another up in your love as we each do our work. Pray that you would bless missionary pastor Lucas and the people of Cristo Vive as they reach out to people in San Jose dos Campos, Brazil, and beyond. Pray that you would bless our government to provide justice and protection for the good of all its people, that you would bless our leaders with your wisdom and guidance, that they would lead according to your will, that you would bless victims of persecution, violence, terrorism, and disaster, that you would bless and protect our troops and their families, especially Juan, that you would bless our veterans and all who are currently serving in our armed forces. We pray for new or better employment for Kevin, Jamie, Anne Marie, Ryan, and Chaplain Malone. We pray for a healthy pregnancy for Carly and Sharon, for a smooth adoption for Eric and Linda, that you would bless all who are traveling, especially this vacation season. We pray that you would bless Tara and Nicole as they start new ministries, that you would bless caregivers and those for whom they care. We pray for mercy and certain hope for Catherine and Dot as they live in their last days. Pray that you would heal Patricia, Jean, Bob, Elfie, Jenna, Maria, Ray, Jr., Alina, Nicole, JC, Kaylin, Joan, Adriana, Anne-Marie, Coleman, Hayden, Penny, Rick, Paul, Skip, Monica, Katie, Becky, Chelsea, William, Denise, Sarah, Linda, Lynn, TC, Pastor Timer, Janet, Aubrey, Benny, Danielle, Ed, Rod, Courtney, Brenda, Forrest, Charlie, Ginger, Larry, Eric, Ethan, TJ, Rufus, Morgan, Chris, Al, Renee, Abby, Cecile, Riley, Wesley, that you would heal those who are battling cancer, especially Rita, Sarah, Alexis, Becky, Elward, Jean, Larry, Ross, Tom, James, Kathy, Jeanette, Fred, Sarah, John, Twyla, Toby, Lou, Regan, Kevin.
Kevin, Harold, and that you would strengthen their families. We pray that you would open our eyes, ears, hands, and mouths to bless people. We pray this all in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive a blessing from the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.